Please turn with me now to Romans chapter 16. We continue our series here, God is Able. Romans chapter 16, be concentrating on the last three verses in this chapter. Last three verses, in fact, of this epistle. Let's hear God's word now. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Perses, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your own obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for the obedience of the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And now may God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of His Word. We've had a little bit in the news of late of people who have been having problems with shakiness. Just this last week, there was a major earthquake in China, and really some heart-rending scenes there. I heard of American and British tourists trapped in rubble, of an entire high school that collapsed, killing many of the students there. Thousands, tens of thousands, hurt or killed, their property destroyed, because terra firma wasn't too firma. Something way below the surface of the earth broke, and shockwaves went around. The ground which we think of around here as being solid, unlike the waves of the sea, suddenly was not. And people were shaken. Buildings were shaken. Foundations were destroyed. And the buildings, the work, the labor of people all fell to the ground. And with that which were the hopes and dreams of many were destroyed. Think of these families, for example, in China. Perhaps some were Christian. Many pagan in one way or another, who by their government are wickedly forbidden to have more than one child. Their only child crushed to death in an instant. Or perhaps buried under the rubble, maybe still hanging on to life for several days, slowly dying agonizingly of thirst or of hunger, or slowly bleeding away. Heartrending indeed. And the hopes and dreams of the parents crushed with the bodies of their children. Now, less momentous, I suppose. In fact, it's been treated kind of humorously, but for the people involved, it's not too funny. This large sinkhole in Texas that seems to be gobbling up property all over the place. Some think it is a salt dome underneath the earth that has collapsed, but in any case, there is this large hole that has opened up, and it's hundreds of yards across, and it keeps crumbling in somewhat, and it is eating up people's yards, and it is eating up their houses, and it is eating up the neighborhood streets. It took an oil rig. When will it end? Well, it's maybe come to a conclusion now. Thousands have not been killed. Tens of thousands have not been injured. But to the people who lived there, again, that which they labored for, that which they had their hearts in, is now destroyed as the earth was shaken. And the foundations of their homes, and in maybe some ways the foundations of their lives, were shaken and broken. We have seen, thankfully, not in the past couple or 3 years, but in somewhat recent years, we have seen these great hurricanes coming through. And do you remember several years ago when we about ran out of names? People who had property where the storms came had terrible, terrible damage. And we think of just a couple of years ago, the great hurricane that came into New Orleans. We think, perhaps, when we think of great storms in that way, of the words of Jesus Christ at the end of His Sermon on the Mount. Here at the end of chapter 7 in Matthew's Gospel, at the very end, He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Reading there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. What is the one firm base upon which one can build a life and upon which one can depend? Where can one be properly founded and based, yes, established, such as we have the word here in Romans 16? If you want to be solidly established forever, you must come to Jesus Christ. He is able to establish you. Now, for the children's sake, I want to talk about this word establish and to tell you what it means. Some of you children have watched a building be built. Maybe you saw your own house. People came in and they poured either this big concrete slab or maybe they dug the hole for your basement if you have it. And they lined it with concrete blocks, or maybe they had forms into which they poured concrete. In any case, why did they do this? Why didn't they just start building your house on the dirt there in your yard? Because there has to be a proper, what's called foundation, a solid place on which the house must rest. Otherwise, it can fall down real easily. There's nothing really to keep it set up. So it is with your life. You must have something solid and firm. More firm than sand. More firm than dirt. In fact, as people that thought they had firmly built properties in whether it be Texas or China, firmer than anything in this world. For let's face it, although you do not have, at this point, living right here, all that much danger of a deadly earthquake. And in this part of the state of Ohio, there isn't much danger of mine subsidence. In eastern Ohio, there might be, and a sinkhole setting itself up, so to speak, in your backyard. Yet there are other ways in which you can. In fact, some of you recently have been shaken. The old foundations in your life, the earthly foundations, are shaken up. Why, it might be that you who enjoyed good health all your life are suddenly faced with a life-changing, life-shaking illness. It may be that you thought your financial future was unassailable. It was on good, firm financial foundations, but it has been shaken in recent months. It may be that there is a loved one who has died and your world is suddenly torn up. Relationships have been sundered. Partnerships may have been ended, and so on and so on. These things shake your life. And they can be, at times, as heartbreaking as these physical events that I've been talking about. You need to be established in Jesus Christ and in the gospel, and He is able to do just that. Paul here, moved by the Spirit of God to give us his inerrant word, begins the end here of this letter, begins this doxology, and by the way, there's a huge word for you children, doxology. It just means a portion of Scripture here that gives praise to God. That's what this is going on here. He begins of telling about the one whom he's seeking to glorify. God in Jesus Christ, as we see down in verse 27 there. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. But he starts out here, now to him who is able to establish. That is what he's talking about here. This one of whom he is talking does some glorious things. Why, we can look around and see these glorious things. You can look around in this world. You can take a big telescope and look out into space. You can take a tremendously powerful microscope and look at the very teeny things. And all these show the glory of God in creation. But Paul is particularly thinking of the fact that God establishes the people He loves in the gospel. Now here's what's so wonderful about it. Left to ourselves, and left to our own wickedness, we're on truly shaking and sinking sands, just as Jesus mentioned there in verses 26 and 27 of Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. We have no firm place. Why, even if we build a mighty financial empire, even if we build a vast circle of influential friends, even if we grasp great political power and make a name for ourselves that may last for 1,000 years and for generations to come, why, in the light of eternity, what good does it do if we have our souls lost? Truly, friends, there is no firm foundation there. Have you ever been to the beach? Not at a lake, but at the ocean. Have you, children? Some of you perhaps have. You can spend your time, perhaps at low tide, up a few feet from where the water is, where the sand is not wet, but moist. And you can make, if you take enough time, and you have some skill, you can make some pretty impressive sandcastles. But do you know, the tide comes in. And no matter how big, no matter how strong, no matter how beautiful the sand castle or sculpture is that you have made, when the waves come in, the tide comes in, and the water comes up, it is all washed away. And some hours later, when the tide goes back again, and you children may not know, but it comes in and then goes out. And comes in and goes out. This happens a couple of times a day. The water goes up and down over a long period of time of some hours. When it goes back down again, where is your beautiful sculpture? Where is your castle? There is absolutely no sign of it. No sign at all. It is gone completely. No matter how grand and glorious, powerful and famous you are in this world, if it is built only in the sands of time, the tide of eternity will wash it all away. And it is gone. Now, a lot of people never see that or never understand that. Actually, deep down in their hearts, they do know that. They know this is what's going to happen, but they don't want it to be that way, so they wish it away. And they will not think into eternity. All they will think of is what they can do in this life and in this world. But God, in His grace, touches some hearts, so that people come to see their danger, come to see that what they are building upon is only sand. Now, sometimes when people see this, they panic. And they begin to fear that there is no hope for them. No hope anywhere for such sinners as they. Well, there is certainly no hope in themselves. We'll concede that point. There is no help or hope in other people. That is certainly the case. In fact, there is no help or hope anywhere in this creation. But that does not mean that there is no hope, no help anywhere. For although we are on the sand left to ourselves, although we are on shaky ground left to ourselves, He of whom Paul is speaking here, God in Jesus Christ, is able to establish and found us firmly upon the rock. No matter how shaky things have been, friends, no matter how great the danger may seem, even right now. And, O Christian, you may be fearing that the foundations are destroyed, and what shall the righteous do? God is able, and God has so done. God shall continue to make all His children safe, well-grounded, stable, and firm. We are on something far more stable, in fact, established on something more firm and unshakable than any stone of this world, or any concrete, any piling of steel driven deep into the earth to the very bedrock. We have something far better than that. We read here that we are established in the amazing. And to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the overwhelming good news of the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus. Do you know this good news, by the way? It is this in a nutshell. You, a sinner, and that is what you are, left to yourself. Everyone coming into this world is characterized quite properly this way. You are under the wrath and curse of God, left to yourself. Yet, in His kindness, in His mercy, in His love, He decided before you were even made, before anything was even made, that He would rescue some sinners. Nasty though they were, He decided to love them. Why would He do that? I do not know. All I know is that He is a loving God, and He loves sinners. And He devised a way to save sinners, to rescue them, in such a way that He wouldn't just sweep sin under the rug. Sin would be dealt with in a proper, just, an honorable way. But at the same time, He would save these sinners. And how? By giving His Son, who became the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the substitute for sinners. He willingly gave His Son, and willingly has said He would take His Son's work for His people, in the place of His people, to rescue His people. The Son willingly went. His love for His people was the same, is the same as His Father's. And He has lived in the place of His people, that God would see His perfect life instead of their nasty life. And He has died in the place of His people, paying off the penalty of their sin. For be assured, our sin demands a punishment from God. But Jesus took it for His people there at the cross. Took it, and took it completely. And because sin was paid for, yes, down to the last penny, sin, which is the payoff for sin, death, which is the payoff for sin, could no longer hold Jesus in the grave. He is raised now. Raised from the grave, raised to heaven and received by His Father, raised into newness of life. He is raised and we are in Him as well. For it is declared in His Word here in the Bible that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who seek Him, find that His life, His perfect life, is seen by God and not their own sinful life. His death paid the price. And so, as God the Father loved His Son, so He loves each one of you who is found in Him. And sinners may come. Sinners may come and take hold of this Savior. Sinners may believe upon Him and cry out to Him to not destroy them because of their sin, though that's what they deserve, but to save them from their sin, and He willingly receives sinners. This is the good news of the gospel, and this is where we are established. It is for not only the Jews, the old people of God, but it is for all nations and all peoples now. And this is what Paul calls a mystery. Now, when we talk about a mystery here, we're not talking about some detective novel. This doesn't mean something we can't understand. No, what it does mean is that this is something, this bringing together of all nations under Jesus Christ, under the gospel, is something no one could see, no one would be able to figure out until God Himself revealed it. And in fact, who could come up with a gospel like this? That the Holy God would send His Son to deliver and rescue people who hated Him. That such a holy God could love miserable and disgusting sinners. It is something that no human could have, would have, or ever has devised. But God has given this gospel in order to bring all nations and all peoples to glorify Himself, just as we saw last week in Jude verses 24 and 25, and as we are singing and shall be singing in Psalm 145. Now this leads us into verse 27 here. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Yes, a God like this, who does all this, truly is worthy of all glory. There is no other who can or does this. Isaiah talks about this quite a bit in Isaiah 45. There is no other. There is no God, no Savior like Him. No other exists. Oh, people make up ones. People try to press them on to us so that we will believe on their creations, so that they somehow can feel like there is safety in numbers as they believe in a false God who will be easier to deal with than the living and true God. But the one they try to press upon us doesn't exist any more than Linus's great pumpkin. God gets all the glory, for He alone saves. He alone establishes His people. He alone is wise who came up with such a gospel. Who could have imagined that God's attributes of love, kindness, mercy, and grace could be brought together with justice, holiness, and truth? Who could think that He whose holiness is brilliant and sparkling and beautiful would want to associate with disgusting sinners? Who would think that somehow all this could be put together? But God has done so through His infinite wisdom, so that He is, as Paul wrote earlier in Romans, both just and the justifier of those people who believe in Jesus Christ. Now the glory of which we speak here, that God brings about and shows forth in establishing and keeping safe His people, is through Jesus Christ. Now, Let's be making sure we understand something. All sinners will glorify God. All creation will glorify God, and within that, sinners will glorify Him. But He will get His glory on them and show forth His, as we've already mentioned, holiness, justice, and truth. He will get His glory on them, still found in their own sin. It is only in Jesus that people give Him willingly and joyfully His glory. Only in Jesus is there wonder, joy, and gladness far beyond what we can so weakly express with our mouths. And only in such a puny way understand in this life right now. It is a far different thing than those who are left in the world can or ever shall experience. And so, believer, here's a word of comfort. Again, there have been times when your world has seemed to be shaken. Or maybe you're in the midst of it right now. Certainly, that shall come further. If you are in, well, I'm talking to believers, since you are in Jesus, He is able to establish you. There is nothing ultimately that shall shake you or destroy you. You are firmly founded, firmly established in Jesus. You shall never fall off, fall down, or fall away. At times, in the middle of a storm, it might be that you shall fear. But when the clouds go off to the east, and the last lightning is flashing far away with a low rumble, the stars come out, and the moon arises, and a beautiful evening comes. And indeed, friends, indeed, that's not really the end. Ultimately, a day dawns, bright, beautiful, clear, that has no further clouds, no storms. No, it is a day that never ends. And it is not the sun of the creation that arises. It is the light of Him who is the light of the world. That day is coming for you. And from that day, there shall never be a leaving. You are firmly established. You who are in Jesus Christ are able to say with Paul, "To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Children, you little children, you know we say that word amen at the end of a prayer. Do you remember what it means? Do you know what it means? Really? Some of you are nodding your head. Well, that's good. I hope it does. If you don't, I'm going to tell you what it means. It's a word that we've borrowed from Bible languages, from Greek and from Hebrew. And it means kind of like, yes, indeed. I believe this is really true. So when you say amen to something, you're agreeing with it, and you mean from your heart you agree with it. So when we say this, or when we read this, "To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever, amen," we're saying yes, we too want to glorify this God who's done such wonderful things for us. We can do that. We delight in this good news. We, along with Paul, give glory to God for such a great salvation from such horrible destruction that we have deserved. And two, such a strong and forever establishment. We have been delivered from such a horrible destruction into which we were sinking and falling. As we sometimes sing from Psalm 40, we have been established on a rock. Our goings have been established. For you in Jesus Christ, God is able to do this and willing to do this. Despite all your afflictions, despite all your trials, joy in this. You are forever established in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing again from Psalm 145, this time using Part B. Psalm 145, Part B. I think everyone could see in Part A how this related to God establishing us firmly and giving Him glory. And we've been talking of His grace and His goodness to us in Jesus. That's how this section starts out. Jehovah very gracious is. In Him compassions also flow. In loving kindness He is great, and unto anger He is slow. Now going to the last stanza. I talked about how things in this world shake, and there have been great kingdoms and empires in this world that seemed to carry all before them. No one could withstand their power. No one could withstand their armies. But now where are they? They're gone. But we sing here in this last stanza, Thy kingdom has no end at all. It does through ages all remain. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. The cast down raises up again. There is that establishment which God is able, God is willing, God always does in Jesus Christ. Let's sing then from Psalm 145, portion B.